Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Remain standing, please.
As Pastor DK just read, our text tonight comes from Philippians chapter 7. And we'll be focusing on a couple sentences on this text. And the title for the sermon tonight is, I Want to Know Christ. And we'll see how could we learn with Paul as he had experienced Christ in his life. So let's start with this. Have you ever felt a deep, unshakable yearning for something? A desire so profound that it shapes your decision, directs your steps, and consumes your thoughts? You cannot forget about it until you take the deal or until you act on it. So, after he had encountered the living Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul had those same desires. It's not for earthly riches, not for human acclaim, as he considered them all garbage as he gained Christ, but for something that was for something more significant and eternal. He declares with an unwavering conviction, I want to know Christ. This isn't a casual wish, it's a compelling must know. He carries that desire that he must know Jesus Christ and everything that comes with his Savior and knowing his Savior. Before we unpack this profound declaration and see what it means for us here today, we need to clarify the need for Jesus' death and resurrection. As we are talking about Sunday, right? Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday. So we are celebrating it. So some people don't understand why Christ will die for them. They would not accept it because they are good people. They did not do anything wrong. Why would someone need to die for me 2,000 years ago? Why do I need a Redeemer for my life, a Savior? Jesus' death was a single, permanent sacrifice that paid the full price for everyone's sins forever. He must have died so we could enjoy life with God for eternity once again. And someone asks, once again? What do you mean by that? Eternity is after we die. So in the beginning, God created us for eternity. Okay? He created us to live forever. There was no death. So by using the free will that God gave us, a couple named Adam and Eve, they decided to mess things up, right? So they disobeyed him. They decided to disobey him. And that brought separation from us and God. And this separation brought not only death, but eternal death. So, and that's why separation is hard for us all. I don't know if there is one person in this world that would lose someone and would not suffer for that. Right? So if they understand the sin and what sin can cause, you know, if they know they love that person, they will suffer with it. So we are not designed to be separated, but to enjoy eternal fellowship with God, but not only that, with each other as well. They had a perfect life in the garden. So Christ's sacrifice was the provision from God to bring reconciliation to all who accept His love. From a worldly viewpoint, a senseless, unnecessary, and foolish death. From a divine viewpoint, the perfect and sufficient payment, the perfect sacrifice of the perfect Lamb by the perfect Shepherd and the greatest High Priest. Verse 10 and 11, again, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. This isn't just a passing thought. It's a strong belief, a deep passion. It's something that became absolutely essential to him, the main thing that directed his whole life. As we look at these words, I pray that the same kind of desire will stir our hearts tonight as we long to know Jesus Christ. I hope that you long to know Jesus Christ as Paul did and experienced. So, the object of the knowing was Jesus Christ Himself. Paul had his life-changing experience with Christ on that road to Damascus. He was blinded and miraculously healed. After his life's transformation, he became a powerful, tireless evangelist, spreading the message of forgiveness and God's kingdom to everyone, everywhere, every place that he went. His experience with the resurrected Jesus caused a complete change in his life. And you know what he was doing before that, right? He was persecuting the church. He was killing people. He hated them. And there was a complete change. So in that, that's the reason for this strong desire to know his Lord. I want to know Jesus Christ. So what's this knowing that consumed Paul? It is not a doctrine, though doctrine is important. It's not a set of rules, though obedience is vital. It is not even simply knowing about Christ. No, Paul's deepest yearning is to know Christ intimately and personally. To know someone, and you all know this, is more than just recognizing their name, greeting them here and there, or understanding their biography. To truly know someone involves relationship. To get to know them, to understand their heart, and sharing in their lives. Sharing some experiences with them. Paul, again, who once had persecuted the church with zealous fervor, now yearns for this profound connection, this personal relationship with the very same Christ he persecuted and tried to destroy. This knowing is not merely an intellectual assent. It is a deep, experiential encounter. It is the kind of knowing that transforms us from the inside out. It is the knowing that involves trust, obedience, and growing in a growing intimacy with our Lord and Savior. It comes from walking with Christ, learning from Him, and allowing His Spirit to shape our lives through the joys and the trials of life. Feeling His presence and experiencing His love in tangible ways. So, Have you settled for knowing about Jesus Christ? Are you done? Do you think you are done? Or are you actively pursuing a deeper relationship with Him? Because as deeper you go, farther and deeper you can still go, right? We'll never get enough from Jesus. So do you share the same compelling desire that Paul had? Do you long to move beyond the superficial understanding of Jesus to a deep and abiding relationship with Him? So is knowing Christ the central driving force of your life? That's a deep question, right? So Paul doesn't stop at a simply desire to know. That was deep, right? But not only that desire to know Christ. He unpacks the nature of this knowing, revealing three crucial dimensions that we'll take a look a little bit deeper here. So, first, I want to know the power of Christ's resurrection. What's involved in that power? So, Paul understood that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. It is the ultimate victory over sin and death, the guarantee of our own future hope. So, as I said before, Christ's sacrifice was the provision from God to bring reconciliation to all who accept His love. But it was not Jesus' death on the cross at the Calvary that brought us eternal life. Death alone would have not sealed the deal. Death and sin would have won the battle. Right? So, it was Christ's resurrection that defeated death. That Sunday morning, what a glorious day. So, and that's why we're set free to become God's children and experience God's goodness to the full. And the condition to experience that is accept God's free gift in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. That's it. You don't need to do anything else. You don't need to pay anything. You don't need to do absolutely nothing. You just need to recognize that you are a sinner and invite Christ to come to your life and restore your life and reconcile you with God. So, to know the power of His resurrection is to experience its life-transforming energy in our own lives. It is to walk in the newness of life that Christ offers, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to live with the confident assurance that death has lost its sting. Amen? Right. So death has no more power over our lives. So do we live in the light of the resurrection power? So do you tap into the divine strength that's available to you through Jesus Christ? Or do we just feel defeated by the challenges and limitations of this world and the things that it brings against us? Paul deeply wanted to experience the power of Christ's resurrection, not just as an idea or a theological concept, but as something real and active in his everyday life. And that, unfortunately, is something that many Christians don't fully grasp. And I hope that you are not in that position tonight. But if you still are there, that you will understand and you commit to live for Him, to learn for Him, to get to know Him every second of your time, your life moving forward. Because Romans 8 says, If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So that's the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives. His spirit is in here today, and he is acting on us. He's ready to guide us, to move us, and to help us to get deeper into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Moreover, Paul wanted to know his participation in his suffering. This is a challenging aspect of Paul's desire. He longed to share in Christ's sufferings, to experience the pain and hardship that came with following him. This is not about seeking out suffering for its own sake, but rather understanding that as we identify ourselves with Christ, we may also share in the opposition and trials that come with living a life that stands against the fallen world, this fallen world we live in. Right? We will face trials, we will face difficulties. But just to be clear, we are not called to a morbid recollection of Jesus' suffering. We do not glory in his sufferings. We do not seek out his sufferings. But we will know his suffering if we are to know Jesus Christ. If we are to know our Savior. Yeah. We will face challenges. We will face struggles. But as he promised, we will overcome them. It means understanding Jesus' calls to pick up your cross and follow him. And this may include facing rejection, misunderstanding, distrust, harsh judgment, gossip, even loss of possessions, or perhaps your own life. And it includes being judged by this unfair world that we live in. So why would Paul desire this? Because he knew that suffering helps us to become more like Christ. God's strength shows up best when we are weak, because he's always strong. Difficult times test our faith and makes us rely more on God. Right? And we need to learn and trust in him to take care of us. So, are you willing to embrace the discomfort that may come with following Christ faithfully? Do you shrink back from challenges, or do you see them as an opportunity to go closer to your Savior and experience his sustaining grace? And another point here is that Paul desired to become like Christ in his death. So this is the ultimate act of identifying with Christ. Paul desired to become like Christ in his death. Not in a literal sense, but in the sense of dying to self, to our own selfish desires and ambitions, dying to our self-sufficient, self-centeredness, self-promotion. In essence, it is tasking up the call to a surrendered life. It is about crucifying our ego, our pride, and our attachment to the things of this world, because we know it's not about us. But it is all about Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life for us, Paul yearned to live a life of self-sacrifice, putting the needs of others before his own and living entirely for the glory of God. This is a radical call to humility and surrender. So, are you willing to die daily to yourself, to give him total control over your life, to follow him and to allow Jesus Christ to truly be the Lord of your life? So in doing all this, in saying all this, in experiencing and living all this, Paul had an ultimate goal: attaining to the resurrection from the dead. His desire to know Christ, including the power of his resurrection, participation in his suffering, and becoming like him in his death, has a clear and ultimate goal. So, he says, somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. This somehow here in the NIV is not a sign of uncertainty, but rather a recognition of the mysterious and gracious work of God. Paul wants to attain the future resurrection from the dead, but also experience the new life of resurrection now in this present time. We also can do that using every possible means we have to live in the reality that the resurrection of Christ brings us basically in two ways. First, we stand firm on our faith position, knowing that, as the Bible tells us, we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. That position is guaranteed for us, and no one can take that away. And Jesus Christ himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Because he's talking about life in eternity, in heaven, with him. So in second, we practice our faith. We act on our faith because we are spiritually alive, and therefore our living is guided by the precepts of heaven. We must set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In verse 12, Paul says, not that I've already attained this, but I'm pressing into the resurrected life of Jesus. I want to know and be and live in his Holy Spirit. That's the way of living a godly life, that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you and me for his purposes. Paul understood that it is through this deep identification with Christ, through experiencing his life, his suffering, and his death in our own lives, that we are ultimately brought into the fullness of his resurrection glory. His focus was not on earthly comfort or worldly success, but on the eternal hope that is found in Christ alone. With that, our present struggles must be seen through the lens of future glory that Jesus Christ has conquered for us by resurrecting on that Sunday morning. Paul's passionate declaration, I want to know Christ, should resonate with you and me, with our own hearts. It's a call to move beyond a superficial acquaintance with Jesus to a profound and transformative personal relationship with him. A relationship that he offers and longs us to have with him. It is a call to embrace the fullness of what it means to know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and the dying to self that leads to new life. So let us ask ourselves honestly, is knowing Christ the burning desire of my heart? Can you ask yourself that question? Is knowing Christ the burning desire of my heart? Am I actively pursuing a relationship with him, a personal and closer relationship with him? Am I willing to embrace the challenges and sacrifices that come with following him wholeheartedly? So, those are questions that only you can answer. Deep inside, you know what your priorities are. So, and I hope that with all that you heard tonight, that you want to know Christ, you want to get closer to Him, that you live with the urgency to say, this is what I want to do for Christ. This is my desire to live with the urgency to share the gospel message of salvation. You know, because everyone that you see out there, if they don't have Christ in their lives, I want you to see them as walking deads. Because that's what the future holds for them. Right? Because if they died here without knowing Christ, that's what's going to happen. They will not have the eternal life that we have here. So, and I hope you will to live your days to go with an unshakable faith and hope, knowing that the resurrection put life and its suffering in a completely new perspective. Here on this place, all things are temporary. It will come to an end. It may take a few years. It may take many years. God knows the time. But all things here are temporary. We're just passing by. And that's why as we go to heaven, we need to bring as many people with us as we can. Because there will be lots of places in heaven, right? Death and suffering is not a significant end, but rather a doorway leading to a deeper connection with Jesus and other believers in a beautiful, joyful place called heaven. Are you longing for that day? Are you longing to go and experience God's presence forever? So may the Holy Spirit ignite within us the same compelling desire that consumed Paul and the other apostles and the disciples. And we may press on day by day to know Christ more fully so that we may experience the power of His resurrection and ultimately attain to the fullness of eternal life with Him. Let's pray one more time. Father God, we thank You for Your word, Father. And our prayer, Lord, is that Your word will shake us, Father, will move us, Father God, to do Your will for our lives, Lord. Father God, to fall on our knees, Father, to praise Your name and glorify You, Father, and come closer to You and experience the life that You offered us. But also, Lord, as we stand and go out, as we go to work, as we go to interact with people, Lord, that we'll live with this urgency, Father, to share with them this precious gift that Christ gave us freely, Father God. Lord, help us to be obedient to You and help us to live our lives, Father, fully for You. Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit will continue to guide us and do in our lives, Father, Your will, not ours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank You.